Well, good evening. Glad to see all of you back. And just to make sure nobody's sweating this, of course, I don't think you'd sweat this anyways, but my announcements after, it might sound like, Heath's got announcement I got to say after. I'm not going anywhere. So sorry to burst your bubble, but I'm sticking around for a little bit longer. Well, I am going somewhere this weekend, but anyways. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. Just want to talk to you a little bit tonight from this passage. First Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Now, before we go any further, I want you to turn all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, where the promise is first made to Abraham. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, here's what God says to Abraham. You go, and you do what I want you to do, and I will bless you. But he says, and you will be a blessing. I don't think that so much. It may have two ways of being fulfilled. That Abraham would be a blessing just because he's going out and he's doing the will of God. And in general, he will be a blessing to others. But I think that really what that statement is it's a command to Abraham. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you richly, but look, if I'm going to bless you, then you be a blessing to others. That is what God wanted from Abraham. And that is what God intended for us to be, being created in His image. He blesses, and He intends for us to reciprocate that and bless others. That's what we're supposed to do as God's people. If God is going to bless us, then He expects us to give a blessing. And that's what Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 9. He says, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. And we all know that we are the seed of Abraham. We are the true descendants of Abraham by faith. Then he says in verse 10, for the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So, Heather, if I asked you, would you like to see good days? I expect you might say yes. I expect every one of us. Brett, you want to have good days in your life? You want to have love in your life? You want to have good things? Do you want to receive the blessings that God has for us? He says, if you would love life and see good days, and then He lists all of these things. And before we get into the specifics of what He tells us to do, again, I think there's two reasons why these things are going to provide us with a good life and good days. The number one reason is because it's God's will. And if we're doing God's will, he says he'll bless us. And we'll talk more about that in a second, but it means we've got God on our side. And that's going to provide some good things in our life. But secondly, I believe the way in which we are designed and the way in which the world is designed, that if we follow these things that are outlined here, that he takes from Psalm 34, that's where this quote comes from, that in the way in which God created the world and the way that we're supposed to have relationships with one another, it's automatically going to provide some good things for us in our life, good relationships and good opportunities in our life. Listen to what he says. The one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Keep his tongue from evil. There are so many things that that applies to that we just don't have the time to talk about. But you know what those things are. We can go over to Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5 where it talks about filthy talk, where it talks about coarse jesting, where it talks about clamor, where it talks about slander, where it talks about speaking with greed and covetousness. We know the kinds of things that are evil to speak about. If you would have good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And really, that's just an example of what it is to speak evil. Deceitfulness and lying is a way of speaking evil. And so many times when you look in the Psalms, Hebrew poetry basically says the same thing twice in two different ways. It's called parallelism. And so that's what he's saying. Keep your tongue away from evil. Keep your lips from deceit. You know what those things are. Are we participating in those things? And you know, sometimes we become so used to it and we allow ourselves to become so much like our culture, we don't even notice sometimes that the way that we're talking is exactly these things. And so we need to step back, think about the things that we say, and be honest. Am I speaking in a way that the Bible describes as evil? And is that keeping me from the blessings of God? He must turn away from evil and do good. Well, first, this idea of turning away from evil. He doesn't say that we can figure out what sin is and what things are not sin, and we can find out where that line is, and we can walk up to that line, and as long as we're walking that line, we're okay. The one that's going to receive blessings from God is the one that says, I know what God wants me to do. I know what God doesn't want me to do. And so I'm going to run from those things that God considers evil. I'm not going to have any part of it. And that's why in that same context of talking about the way Christians should talk, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, let not greediness or covetousness or immorality or impurity even be named among you. That's the kind of attitude that God expects us to have towards evil things. I don't want somebody to even slightly associate me with those things. Now, might people do that just to drag me in the mud, even though it's not true? Yes. But I don't want to give them that opportunity. You think about Daniel. How did those rulers in Babylon, I guess it was Persia at that point, how did they end up getting him in trouble? They couldn't find anything wrong with his conduct in the way that he talked, in the way that he acted. They couldn't find anything wrong there. They had to somehow get him in trouble because of his faithfulness to God. That's the kind of people that receive blessings from God. And boy, did Daniel receive blessings when he was thrown in that lion's den. Turn away from evil and do good. Sometimes we have this perspective, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't go in places I shouldn't, and so I'm everything God wants me to be. But sometimes we just miss the whole point of what salvation is and what the whole point is. Is God saving us Is all of this because he just wants to keep us from doing certain things? Or is it because he wanted us to do other things? And so first we have to have forgiveness of these transgressions that we've committed so that we can be on the right path to doing the good things. In Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, Paul talks about, you also used to walk in like the sons of wrath. You also used to follow the temptations of the devil. You were sinners like everybody else, but now you have come to know Jesus. You have been saved through Jesus, through the grace that's in Him. He died for you, and now you have partook in that. And we get through verse 8 and saved by faith through grace. It's the gift of God. And we're just like, yes, amen. But we don't go down to verse 10. For we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. It's not just a matter that I'm not doing the things that are sin, but it's a matter of I'm putting those things away so that I can focus my attention more on doing good things, on being who God always wanted me to be in the first place. We must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Oh, it's so evident that that's the nature of God. We're called to be like Jesus, to be conformed to His image, Romans 8 and verse 29. And if there was ever a peace seeker, it was Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, while we were still God's enemies, He sent Christ to save us. In the most vile and destructive way, we were someone's enemies. We were the enemies of our Creator. And yet, what did our Creator want? He wanted to find a way to make peace with us, so that we could have a relationship again, so that we could be on good terms with Him again, and eventually to live with Him forever. He's a peacemaker, and that's what He wants from us. And again, just because, as we said earlier, just because we're living right doesn't mean somebody's not going to falsely accuse us. And just because we're living right and we try to seek peace in relationships doesn't mean somebody else is not going to cause problems. It doesn't mean that because of someone else's sin, we're going to avoid confrontation altogether. But what he says is, I must seek peace. I must pursue it as much as possible if I want God's blessings in my life. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. One of the main theme, I think, of Psalm 34 is having God on my side. And the blessing it is to know that God's on my side. To know that He hears my prayers. But if I'm speaking evil, I can't have that confidence. If I'm still giving in to sin constantly in my life, I can't have that confidence. I shouldn't expect God's blessings, and I can't have the confidence that every worry, that every problem in my life, I can't have the confidence that He's listening to my prayers, because I'm not getting rid of the evil in my life, and I'm not seeking to do the things that He wants me to do. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, those who are just in God's eyes, those who are seeking to do what's right in God's eyes. And His ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Sometimes you can see in the Old Testament, especially in the poetry, they talk about God turning His face toward them and God directing His attention upon them. And that God, hear me. You see what's going on in my life. But I can't have that confidence that God's hearing me and paying attention if I'm totally disregarding who He wants me to be. If I desire life to love and see good days, I need to keep my tongue from evil. I need to keep my lips from speaking deceit. I need to turn away from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it, so that I can have the blessing of God and the confidence that He's watching over me. Verse 13, Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? Generally, if you try to live right, honest people are going to respect you for that. And it's going to avoid a lot of problems in your life. But not always. Verse 14. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. You're still blessed, even in the midst of suffering. How, Peter? And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. Why am I still blessed? Because I still have God's blessing. Even when people are cursing me, even when people are treating me wrongly, I still have God's blessing. I still have the blessing, the ultimate, the climax of the blessing of Abraham. The redemption that's in Jesus and the hope of heaven. It doesn't matter what people do to me. I still have God's blessing. I still have the confidence that even though I'm suffering, God hears me. I still have the confidence that God will justify all the wrongs in the day of judgment. I'm still blessed if I'm serving God, though I might be suffering in this life. So how do I respond in that? I sanctify Christ as Lord in my heart. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus came to save me. Jesus can provide all of my needs. I will trust Him in every situation, in every circumstance. He is the Lord of my life, and I will follow Him whether it brings suffering or not. And I will be ready to tell people why I have that hope. I will be ready to say, do what you want, but I trust Jesus will save me. Verse 17, for it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right, rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Jesus was perfect. Jesus always did what was right. Jesus always turned away from evil. Jesus always kept His mouth from speaking evil. Jesus always did everything that His Father wanted Him to do. That was His foremost mission in life. He still suffered for it. He still had some very difficult times. The perfectly just One had to suffer and die for all of us who are unjust. He was still blessed. He still had the confidence of God. And we can too, if we will follow in His footsteps and be the kind of person that He was, doing the things that we talked about tonight. But Jesus did die, the just for the unjust, so that all of us here can have the hope, have forgiveness of sins, and have the hope of heaven. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to think about what that means. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins. And you need to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as Lord. And be buried with Him in the waters of baptism, that you can be His disciple. You can receive the blessing that's in Jesus. And you can in turn be a blessing to others. And if you're already a Christian tonight and you recognize that you have failed to uphold these things that we've talked about, come, this is the opportunity that we can pray for one another and that we can encourage one another to do better. Whatever we can help you with, we hope you'll come as we sing this song.